Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yitzchelam. We're now on Masachet Baba Batra Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet, near the top of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan, Machar lo bayit, machar lo sadeh, ein me'id lo aleha. So if I sell you a house or a field, I cannot then testify to the fact that you own it. Nesha achrayuto alav. And the simple read of the Braita is that I have some achrayut, so if the field gets seized, I'm going to have to pay you. I have a vested interest in the testimony. Machalo para, machalo talit, but if I sold you a cow or a talit, meaning an animal or a garment, or in other words, metaltalin, me'ilo alam neshein achriyutu alav. That's the braita. Now, maishna resha, maishna seifa. Why is the resha different than the seifa? The assumption being that either you sell something by achriyut or you don't, you could put achriyut on to metaltalin also. So, if sheshet resha beruven shekazal sadem shimon machalo levi. So, if sheshet constructs a case in which we have four players, and then Reuven is the thief. He stole a field from Shimon. He then sold it to Levi. And then Vata Yehuda comes along and says, that's my field. And he says that to Levi who's on the field. And now Shimon wants to come and testify that Levi owns the field as follows. Shimon Levi, why Hadra? Because he would prefer that it goes back and then he can get it from Reuven. Now, v'kevan da'asi, he has an interest in where this testimony is going to flow. V'kevan da'asi le'de Levi hu, but he's going to testify that it belongs to Levi. How could he then ever get it out of Levi and get it back if he's going to testify that it's Levi's? He's not going to testify it's Levi's. He's going to just say, I know for a fact that it's not Yehuda's land. So if he has the ability to testify for Levi, he can testify and take it from Yehuda also. So why would he prefer to keep it here? To Amar Sheinochli Harishon Kasheimenu. He has the attitude that Yehuda is a tougher guy, and I don't want the land to end up with him. It'll be harder to get it from him. In other words, whatever proof he has to get the land back, why doesn't he just use it against Yehuda? Let Yehuda make the claim. The answer is Yehuda is a tougher guy to deal with. If you buy them, I'm going to eat like Sahadi Lamar, eat like Sahadi Lamar. That Yehuda has witnesses and Reuven has witnesses supporting their competing claims. And so therefore, he can't get it away from Yehuda. He has witnesses that it's his, and his witnesses that it's Yehuda's, so he has to keep it in Levi's possession and then try to get it from here. And the Rabbanan said that when you have conflicting testimony, just let the land stay where it is. Okay, Velukva Vagazlan. So now, why do we need A, B, C, and D? Why don't we just have A, B, and C? Reuven stole land from Shimon, and now Yehuda is coming and claiming it from Reuven, and that Shimon can't testify. The answer is Shimon Kabay Lemit Nasefa. The second half of the case is Machalo Param Machalo Talit. The Dafka Machar. This will only work when there's a sale involved, meaning somebody in the way we're setting it up with a Gazlan, where somebody stole it and then sold it. Why? David Yehush for Shinu Rishut. The only way the other guy could really own it is if there's Yehush on the part of the Nigzal and Shinu Rishut that the thief then sold it further. Avalo Machar the Hadra Lelo. But in the case of where it's not Nimkar, it'll come back to the Nigzal, and then the whole case will fall apart. So therefore, Tana Reisha on Machar. Therefore, the Reisha, we also constructed this case of the four guys. Now, the Seifa Nami Nihidu Miyayish Bigufa Midami Miyayish. Wait a second. Even in the Seifa, the guy's not Miyayish. It's Miyayish from getting his power back, but not from getting paid. So, Lotzuicha to meet Gazlan. We're talking about a case where the Gazlan himself died. Tenana Gozel Machil Panav Viniach Lifnam Turim Neshalem. At the end of Baba Kama, we learned that, yes, if a Gazlan steals something, he has to give it back. If he dies, his kids have to give it back. If he's alive and he used it up, he has to pay the money. But if he used it up and then he dies, his kids aren't responsible for his debts, and therefore he'll never get this guy will never get the money back if the Gazlan died. Okay, but look, maybe Yoresh. So why don't we, instead of having a Gazlan here, why don't we just make it a case of a Yoresh? Of a Mechira. Instead of there being Levi who bought it from Reuven, why don't we just have Levi be Reuven's son who inherited it? The answer is, according to the approach that says that a Yoresh is really not like a Lokeach, then I understand your question. All right, so then there's no reason to have this case. V'od kashal Abaye, plus Abaye asked, "Nesha achriyuto alav and achriyuto alav." Abaye said, "Rav Sheshet's ukimta," and explaining the Braita is very strange because the Braita states that the reason for the difference between the Reish and the Seifa is achriyut. Nesha chozer and chozer lo imvayle, but according to you, Rav Sheshet, it should be because the land will come back, the animal won't come back. and therefore the difference. So therefore, Abaye says your entire Ukimtan explanation of the Braita doesn't work. Ella could have Rabin Bar Shmuel. I'm Rabin Shmuel Mishpeni Shmuel. He quoted Shmuel as saying, "Hamocher sadel chaveru shelo b'achrayut. If you sell somebody else a field without achrayut, ein meid lo alai. You still can't testify about it. Certainly, if you sold a b'achrayut, you can't testify because if it turns out the field's no good, you're gonna have to repay him. But even if you sold it shelo b'achrayut, you can't testify. Why? Neshem amida b'fnei bal chovo. Essentially, by saying yes, that's your field that you bought from me." And then if you yourself have a creditor, he's going to go after that field, and you'll be off the hook for the debt, and you won't have to pay anything. But that's only true about a house or a field. But as far as metaltalin goes, lo mi baye bistamed lo mishtamdele, certainly in a default case. There's no shibud, the animal is not mishubud to the loan. My time away, because when I lend you money, the only part of your property that is now a shubud to that loan is real estate. So the cow's not, the garment's not, and therefore I could testify about the fact that that garment that I sold you is yours, because my balchov can't go after it anyways. Even though in the shtar you wrote, you can collect from me even from the shirt on my back, which is metaltalin, that's only if I have it at the time of collection. But if I don't have it at the time of collection, you can't collect it. The shibud doesn't go with it. But not only that, but even if you said that this cow is going to be an apotiki, collection of this loan will come from this cow, it still doesn't work. My taima. If you made your eved an apotiki and then sold and balchov go away menu, the balchov can go after him to the new owner and collect, and then the new owner has to come back to you. But if you took an animal and made it an apotiki, the balchov can't go to the new owner and get it. My time, there's a principle we've seen throughout that the sale of real estate is something well known and everybody knows about what's happening. Sale of an animal is not so well known, and therefore the shibu just doesn't follow. Why aren't we concerned that when this guy sold the cow, he sold it with karka? And therefore, the shibud will go with the cow. And therefore, when he testifies, he's protecting himself. Rabba said that if you are makin metaltlin with karka, then the entire thing comes together, and that means the shibud comes together. That's as long as you write in the shtar. This is not a fake shtar. This is not a form letter. This is a real shtar. Good, but in other words, it goes with it. So we're talking about a case where the fellow who's now coming to testify bought this cow and sold it immediately, which means it couldn't have gone along with any karka. It could not have happened at the time of a loan. But maybe in his loan he wrote the ikni, meaning I am b'mishambed what I own and anything that I will later acquire. So from this we should infer that if you write, I am being mishamed anything I later acquire, that if you later acquire something and then sell it before collection, which means at the time of the loan you didn't own it. By the time of collection you don't own it anymore. In the meantime you sold it or you bequeathed it. Lo mishtabed, the shibud doesn't follow it, meaning it's either something you owned at the time of the loan or something that you got in the meantime but you still own at the time of collection. So lo tzricha de kamreidim yadinim bebahayt lo havi le'arami olam. So no, we could construct a case where say the edim come and say this guy never had karka, which means he never could have sold it as a kinyan agav, which means this is only metaltalin, there's no shibud, and therefore he can testify. But Papa said, even though the Rabbanan said, if you sell somebody a field, and then a Baal Chov comes and takes it, you don't have any claim back on the seller. But if it turns out it was never the seller's, then the buyer does come back. Right? So, which, in other words, if it turns out that this guy really stole the animal and then sold it to another guy, and the guy then you come and testify, it turns out that your testimony is meaningful because if it turns out it wasn't really your cow to sell, he's going to come back and collect from you. Which means, again, you can't testify that something that you sold the guy belongs to him, even if it's a metaltalin. The answer is, Achmaskin, Makir Bashi Bat Chamoro. We'll see this again in the next podcast in another context. That the buyer recognized that this was a relation to an animal that he knew well was mine. And therefore, he really knew it was my animal, and therefore there's no question that it was stolen. That wasn't the problem. Now, parenthetically, Rav Zvi Amar, if I sell you something, even not only If I sell you something b'shelo b'achrayut, and somebody comes and collects it as a debt, for a debt, certainly you can't come back to me, but even if it turns out it was never mine, you can't come back to me. The marach is v'nirach shelo b'achrayut. That's why I sold it shelo b'achrayut, so you couldn't come back to me for anything. I sold it to you at a low figure, and I'm out of here. Okay, gufam ravin or shmo mishmeni shmo mocher sadel chaver shelo b'achrayut emin d'meid lo alehav. Neshem amidah b'fnei b'al chovo. We saw Shmuel's statement that was the kernel of Abaye's answer to this whole strange braita, that if you sell a field, shelo b'achrayut, you can't testify because you're putting it basically in the presence of your own Baal Chov so he can come collect it and you're off the hook. Now, hechidami, how does this work? Idi le'arachriti, if I have other land, I, the guy who's testifying, then aledi de'hadar, he's going to come after me from my other land. So this land is still safe, I could testify. If I have no other land, my nafka lemine, what do I care? Either way, the guy can't collect from me. So I'm not gaining anything. So the answer is, the answer is, I don't have any other land. But I don't want to be a guy who borrowed money and doesn't pay back. That's a bad guy. I borrowed money from this guy. And so therefore, I'm interested in him knowing that that one little piece of land that I had is now in this other guy's hands. He can collect it from him. But wait a second. Relative to the guy he sold the property to, he's now a thief because he sold him property, knowing that that was the only property he had left, knowing that a Baal Chov is going to come after him, knowing he sold the Shelo B'Achrayut, and he's hurting him. The answer is, Damar Lach is Vinilach Shelo B'Achrayut. He said, that's why I sold the Shelo B'Achrayut, because there's a risk here that this guy's going to come collect it. In a case of a loan, I borrowed money from you, and I'm chayv to pay you. In this case, I sold you land, and to some extent, maybe I'm accepting responsibility to protect the sale. In this case, I don't. That's why I put no achrayut. Okay. Machri's Rava, Vitem Rav Papa, Rava or Rav Papa made the following announcement. V'salkin la'ilah, dunachtin la'tata. Those who go up there to Israel, those who come down to Babel, everybody should know this halacha. Hi, Bar Yisrael, dissolving lechamer li Yisrael chavrei. If one Jew sells a donkey to another Jew, v'ka'ati akum v'anis lemine, and an akum comes and seizes it from the buyer, claiming that it was stolen from him, and that the seller wasn't the seller, dinu d'mavtz lemine. The halacha is that the seller has to go to court and try to wrest it away from the thief, from the anas, from the akum, and if he can't, he has to pay for it. I mentioned Bar Chamura coming in again. This is only if the buyer didn't really recognize the animal as being part of the family of the animals owned by the seller. But if so, then not, because clearly the Akum here is a thief, and there's nothing you could do about it. And by the way, this is only true if he comes and takes the animal, but not if he takes the animal on the saddle. But if he comes and takes the animal on the saddle, clearly he's just a thief. He said, you know what, even in any case, you don't have to go and deal with the Akum Anas. Why my time? I made the other Sama of the Kochav Manasu, because we understand that that's the status of most of the Kochavim, that they are going to seize things that they can. Shemar Shapim Debrashavim Minam Minshaka, this parak of Tehillim, where David describes his enemies, they speak falsely, and their right hands are hands of falseness, which means they will force things, as long as they have the ability to do it, that are not justifiably theirs. And therefore, he says, we all understand that that's how they are, and therefore, if the guy took it, the mocher can't do anything about it, and we have no reason to think that his claim is legitimate, and the mocher, we think, was legitimately the owner, and this guy just happened to catch a moment and seize the thing, nothing the mocher can do, and so in every case, he is off the hook. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick up with our analysis of Uman Ein Lo Chazaka in our Mishnah. In the meantime, though, everybody should have a wonderful day.